The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It was 1951, and a young seminary graduate named Guido Merkens was sent to San Antonio, Texas, to begin a mission congregation. And when he got there, the only thing that he had was a stack of 3x5 cards with the names of people who might be interested in a new church. Dr. Merkens served there for 4 decades. And today, Concordia Lutheran Church in San Antonio has about 6,000 members. It is one of the largest congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, quite a few years ago, I was at a meeting with Dr. Merkens, and he said, "You know, it takes a lot of hard work not to add one single adult confirmand in a year. It takes a lot of hard work not to add one single adult confirmand in a year." Well, I'm here this morning to tell you that you can do it. You will be sent into communities and congregations that need justice, where individuals need the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and neighborhoods and communities need the good works that God has ordained His people to do. You'll be sent there, but with hard work, you can make sure that not one single convert is brought to Jesus Christ in a year. And all you have to do is follow the model of the scribes. In Mark chapter 2, verse 6, Jesus forgives the sins of the paralytic. You know, that's the guy that they let down through the roof. And it took a lot of hard work from the scribes to disagree with what Jesus did, but they did. They say, "Why does this man do this? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" It took a lot of hard work, a lot of hard study of the Torah, the writings, the prophets, and the traditions, but they did it. And with all their hard work and study and erudition, they were able to put limits on Jesus' forgiveness. In Mark chapter 2, verse 16, the scribes complained, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And again, it took a lot of hard work. It took hard work to justify why they, the scribes, stayed in their own comfortable affinity group and would not go out to the marginalized and hurting people that Jesus loved. But the scribes did it, and so can you. In Mark chapter 7, verse 5, the scribes complained to Jesus, "Why do you teach your disciples not to walk in the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands?" And it took a lot of hard work, the hard work of knowing the traditions, the Constitution, and the bylaws, to say why the freedom of the gospel doesn't apply here, but things have to be suppressed to serve your own power structure. It took a lot of hard work, but the scribes did it, and you can too. And in the reading that you heard here, We see the scribes hard at work and seeming to have some success. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had come down from the Mount of Transfiguration to the plain. And when they came down, they saw the scribes hard at it, arguing with the disciples. Mark chapter 6 tells us that the disciples had gone out earlier and had been able to cast out demons. But now when a distraught father, brought his sick son to the disciples, they weren't able to do anything. And so when the scribes saw that, they, just like the roaring lion that they served, pounced on the disciples for their failure in ministry. Oh, I'll tell you, they were so theological, so filled with the traditions, so virtuous, so self-righteous, that their sanctimony was smothering everybody, but nobody, including the disciples, knew what to do about it. It didn't ring true to them what these scribes were doing, but their sanctimony was self-serving and smothering. And it certainly appeared that the way of the scribes had won another battle. They did it, and you can do it too. Well, I do feel that I have to tell you who you are going to be up against, young scribes. Don't worry about the people who call themselves Christian. I mean the people who regard the word Christian as simply the answer to a religious preference form, something like that. They're going to be no trouble to you. But it's the people who love Jesus, the people who follow Jesus, that you're going to find to be a real nuisance. And where do you find these Jesus followers? Well, in the Bible story, you found them where there was a child who needed healing. And today's Jesus followers go where the need is, because that's what their Lord taught them to do. So you will find these Jesus followers where sickness seems incurable, where addiction seems unbreakable, where the cycle of poverty seems hopeless, where crime, white-collar or blue-collar crime, seems to be almighty and undefeatable. You'll find these Jesus followers where sin is so ingrained in the power structure that when they go up against it, they feel that they can do nothing and their efforts fail. That's where you will find these troublesome followers of Jesus. You'll find them there because they actually believe, these people actually believe that Jesus saved them. And because he saved them, they're convinced that he sends them to the least, the last, the lost. Now, you can take a little courage here, young scribes. Sometimes you will be able to out-argue these simple-hearted followers of Jesus. And when you do a best them in controversy, I want you to know what happens. The scribes go back and congratulate themselves in their affinity group. But when it appears that we scribes have won an argument with these simple-minded Christians, followers of Jesus, you know what they do? While we're patting ourselves on the back, they go straight to Jesus. And they tell him about their failure. They didn't get it done. And what does Jesus do? Well, in the story you heard, where the disciples failed in their ministry attempt to heal that sick boy, Jesus said, "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." And when these simple-hearted Jesus followers go to him, he says, "Bring it to me. Bring me your ministry failures. Bring me your ministry challenges. Bring me those times when the power structures in the community, the city, the church slapped you down and you feel like an abject failure. Bring them to me." And while scribes are patting themselves on the back for an apparent victory, the Christ followers are doing just that. They're giving it to Jesus. And then something happens. And it seems so counterintuitive, but what happens next is that they just let Jesus have it. They give him their failures, their crosses. Because we scribes know our theology, we know the traditions, but that doesn't mean that Jesus followers don't know the Bible too. Oh, they do. And they learn it in a more desperate way than we ever have. And they know, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. They know, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And they know that in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and confidence is your strength. So they just give their ministry failures to Jesus. And sometimes he responds by doing a miracle, as he did in that incident. And other times, he seems not to answer at all. Nothing seems to happen. But they don't give up because they are simple-hearted followers of Jesus, and they trust that however he answers their prayer for ministry, he is working for his good purposes. They trust that promise. And so they persevere. They continue trusting the promises about ministry that he has given them. Now, these Jesus followers have a lot of jargon, and one of their jargon words is faith. But I just want you scribes to know that what faith is simply they're saying, "I'm trusting what Jesus has promised for me and for my ministry." And that's a world difference from us, because, you know, we trust our self-righteous, smothering sanctimony. Well, there's a lot in my sharing with you that should give you pause. And there's one more thing that should give you pause as you look at your future service out there. Jesus said, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything except by prayer." I confess, I don't know what exactly that means, but I do know that these simple-hearted followers of Jesus believe that he right now is praying for them and for their ministry right now. Now I know we got him. We got it so that he was crucified and put to death. But they believe he rose from the dead. And I'll tell you the truth, we cannot prove that that did not happen. They believe that he is at the right hand of God, praying for them and for their ministry efforts, whether they succeed or whether they are temporarily rebuffed. All of this about the opponents of the scribes should give us pause. You know, it takes a lot of hard work not to add one single adult convert in a year. But you can do it. I just want you to know that those people out there that you'll be working against, those simple-hearted followers of Jesus, they count themselves as nothing. And to them, everything is God and his Son, who can do immeasurably far more than all that they ask or think. You may defeat them in some controversy, temporarily get the best of the situation, but they will not lose heart. They have confidence, and they have ways of building each other up in their confidence in the Lord that they follow. One of those ways that they build their confidence up in one another is through code words. I mentioned faith, that's one of their code words, but another code word that they have shows up almost all the time. At the end of their talk, they call it a prayer. At the end of their talk, their prayer to God, and when they finish a talk or a prayer with Jesus, as disciples are doing without ceasing, they've got this code word that ends it, and that's a code word that inspires confidence. And every once in a while now they get together, a whole group of them gets together, and they get some guy to stand up in front of the group and give them kind of a pep talk. And when that pep talk, their jargon for it is sermon, but when that pep talk or message is finished and the guy is about ready to sit down, he uses the same code word, and that same code word is amen or amen, however it is that you were raised to say it. And that's the code word that they send to one another. Just one of the many ways by which these simple-hearted followers of Jesus encourage one another to get out there and keep doing it, because that's what Jesus, their Lord, does. And so, like I said, the guy who stands up and delivers the pep talk, the message, or call it the sermon if you want, he always ends with that word of confidence, and this is it. Amen. Yea, yea, it shall be so. Amen.